Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 minutes with the G,
the straight shooting view,
coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. Pitch Talk podcasts and videos are brought to you in association with LE Bikes. Begin your journey into electric bikes. Visit lebikes.co.uk. Welcome to
the Straight Shooting View.
Hey everybody, what is up? My name is Straight Shooting LJ and welcome to another episode of the Straight Shooting View. Now, one thing I have found interesting recently is Saudi Arabia and the number of players moving over there. Now, the transfer fees are absolutely astronomical at the moment. More on that later. I'll go into a bit more detail with that. But Saudi Arabia, a jacked up MLS or an actual future threat? Now, part of me thinks it's a jacked up MLS at the moment because of who they're signing. Guys like, say, Ronaldo, they've just confirmed Steven Gerrard as a manager for El Etifak, which sounds like an accountancy firm. But also as well, they've got Karim Benzema going over there, Roberto Firmino, among other players. And Ruben Neves was actually the surprise. That was kind of a surprising one. And allegedly, Jamie Vardy turned down the chance to actually go there, citing family reasons. And you know what? Fair play to him, because he would have made an astronomical amount of money over there and wound down his career out there. But do you really want to ship your family out to Saudi Arabia when they're used to being in Leicester? So, and they've also been with him through thick and thin. And well, obviously Rebecca Vardy's got her dealings over here. I'm not going to see that musical, nor will I be doing a straight shooting review on that one. But anyway, leaving that aside, it's interesting to see who's going over there at the moment. N'Golo Kante's one is probably the most interesting out of the lot, just purely on the basis of why he seems to have now gone over there. Because some people were like, oh, Kante's going over to Saudi Arabia. Okay, cool. Fair play to him. But one of the things he's done recently is that he's invested in a lower league French club. And it's like, okay, so that obscene amount of money that he's going to be making out in Saudi Arabia, he's clearly going to be plowing some of that, not only into his own retirement, but into that club as well. And it's like, you know what? Fair enough. It's like, why not use that Saudi money, which you know those checks are not bouncing, you know you're going to get paid an astronomical amount, more on that later, why not use that to benefit other leagues? Hey everybody, just wanted to take a quick detour just to go over the top 10 earners in terms of players in the Saudi Pro League. So let's dip into some of those numbers. Cristiano Ronaldo, number one, earns 3.6 million as his wage, and his salary will be 173 million all told. That's from Al Nassr. Karim Benzema at Al Ittihad will be on 3.58 million as his wage, with 172 million pounds as his salary. N'Golo Kante's third at Al Ittihad as well, 1.7 million wage, and his salary will be 86.2 million over the course of his contract, of course. Kalidou Koulibaly at Al Hilal will be on 500,000 pounds
as his wage. These are weekly wages, by the way. £30 million over the course of his contract. Ruben Neves, who is also at Al Hilal, will be on £300,000, making £16 million over the course of his contract. Ever Banega at Al Shabab will be £176,000 with a £9.1 million salary. Matias Pereira at Al-Wada will be on £107,000, £5.5 million salary. Anderson Talisca at Al Nassr will be on £100,000, £5.17 million. Ahmed Hegazi at Al Ittihad, the same club as Benzema and Kante, will be on £97,000 as his wage, £5.01 million salary. And Moussa Marega at Al Hilal, the same club as Kalidou Koulibaly and Ruben Neves, will be on £78,000 as his wage and £4.28 million as his salary across the length of his contract. So you can see those top 10 numbers there are just legalized insanity, really. So yeah, so N'Golo Kante will be picking up £86.2 million over the course of his salary if he obviously sees out his whole contract at Al Ittihad. And he is third only to Benzema and Ronaldo at same club as him, Benzema, Al Ittihad and Al Nassr for Cristiano Ronaldo. So, well, it's interesting to see where Kante is going to be, well, hopefully putting some of that £86.2 million. But yeah, interesting numbers for sure. So let's get back to the straight shooting view about the Saudi Pro League. So this is where it could get interesting in terms of players maybe in the twilight of their careers, like a Ronaldo, Benzema, Kante, among others, who are over 30 going over to that league, because then they could just be like, all right, cool. I'll be here for a couple of years, make some bank, put it into some other projects whilst I'm here, because it's not as if I need more money. So the Ruben Neves thing was second most interesting in comparison to Kante, because Ruben Neves, captain of Wolves, left. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes things a little interesting. Prime of his career, Premier League captain of a Premier League side. And it's like, you're picking now to go to Saudi Arabia? All right. I'm guessing you couldn't turn down the money, and fair play. Some would say, how much money do you need? But it might represent an opportunity to become a massive star out there. And like I said with Cristiano Ronaldo when he moved, in terms of building his social media profile out in Saudi Arabia, a lot of these other guys might be seeing that as an opportunity to get in on the ground floor of something that could be big in 5, 10, 15 years' time. I'm just hoping that the Saudi Arabian League, if they want to be considered a threat, I am hoping that they have a long-term plan. I mean, some have said that China kind of fell off. Remember when they were like getting guys in like Carlos Tevez, Oscar, Alex Teixeira, for example, as well, on astronomical wages. And some were saying, oh, China's league collapsed. And it's like, no, it's actually still there. Shanghai Shenhua are still there. It's like, even the side that I think it was like Nicolas Anelka moved out there as well. It's like, those sides are still there. But the Chinese Super League, we said, I think it was back in 2015-16 on a Pitch Talk Live episode, we discussed about China having a 34-year plan. And they're only about 7 years into that. I think there's a Pitch Talk push point or rant of the week about that as well. What's it? China's 34-year plan to become a footballing superpower and the Delhi Dynamos. Delhi Dynamos, separate issue. But if they have a long-term vision in Saudi Arabia, then they could. There's no reason why they couldn't be a legitimate threat to the bigger leagues, but it will take potentially 15 to 20 years to get to that level, because you can't do it straight away. I mean, you look at the MLS, some people have cited the, what was it,
NWSL or NASL or something like that, the original version of the MLS back in, I think it was like the 70s, 80s, something like that. But this current incarnation of the MLS, just to stick on them, has been around basically as long as the Premier League. I think they're like a year younger than the Premier League. And look at the behemoth that the Premier League is and has become. But there's been a lot of, obviously, advertising, marketing. There was a long-term strategy to that. And they were pretty much the kind of first to do it on that level. So you can't be first, but you can be next when it comes to football nowadays in terms of building the league. But the fact is, if you're willing to invest and hang around for the long term and build, then there are opportunities there. Just ask Stormzy and Wilfred Zaha, who have invested in Croydon AFC as part of a trio of investors recently. So there are opportunities out there. But coming back to Saudi Arabia, they've got that oil money behind them. So, excuse me, they've got the financial depth not to be outspent. Like what I've said about Amazon. As I've said about Amazon as well, since 2018, Amazon are playing the long game and doing it slowly because they know if they just steam in like a bull in a china shop, they'll get overcharged for everything. So they're playing the long game. BT Sport have recently been sold off. So it's one of them where it's like, okay, I'm surprised Amazon didn't go in for that. But with the Saudi League, they've got the ability and they've got the financial depth to be able to play the long game. And I said, the MLS, most, like, you got a couple of their, I think it's a handful of their franchises now are part of that multi-team club system that Todd Boehly has recently been talking about. By the way, Todd Boehly, get Chelsea right first, then start thinking about a multi-club system. Good lad. And I'm not even a Chelsea fan, but it's just like, dude, you're getting Chelsea catastrophically wrong. And you've just had to unload a bunch of players to the Saudi Arabian League, which again nicely dovetails me back into my original point about the Saudi League. Now, Chelsea have obviously been helped out more than any other side in the Premier League because they had to offload a shed load of players. And most of them have gone Saudi. Kante, Koulibaly, I think Mendy's gone out there as well. So it's one of them ones where the Premier League, like certain clubs digging themselves into a financial hole, that benefits the Saudi Arabian League in an indirect way, which could help them build as well. Because as I said, with guys like Koulibaly, and Ruben Neves, these are not guys at the ends of their careers. These are guys in the primes of their careers moving over. And Saudi Arabia, they're not a European club, so they ain't got to worry about UEFA and the weird applications of financial fair play, which just don't even make sense. They haven't got to worry about that. So they could corner their own market. They could corner that Asian market, because the Australian A-League hasn't done it. China, they haven't done it. So there's still an opportunity, and it's somewhat of an untapped market. I mean, you may remember the first ever Pitch Talk Meets interview with Matt Hodgson, producer and director of the 4-year plan, the QPR documentary. And the film that the documentary they did after that was Sleeping Giant, an Indian football story. And they were talking about that being an untapped market. So you got India, Pakistan, that whole Asian region is still really an untapped market. The Premier League only really see it as kind of a marketing tool. But if Saudi Arabia and that neck of the woods, forget their human rights record for a moment, but and I don't mean to belittle that in any way, but it is one of them ones. If the Saudis want to build their league, they need to. There's obviously European talent they can procure in the prime of their careers because they've got the money to be able to lure them over, like what Monaco did before they got back into UEFA competitions. It's one of them where if the Saudis are smart, they will look at the Asian population and develop there, because it's a massive untapped market with billions of people, and the Premier League only really see it in terms of marketing. The Premier League are not trying to develop Asian talent. Whenever Asian talent has come over, it's usually been for marketing purposes. Like, to an extent, Ji-Sun Park. To an extent, he was actually a very, very good player. But Man United, being on the New York Stock Exchange, that was mostly a marketing thing. Everton being sponsored by Chang Beer and having, I think it was Seol Ki-hyun as one of their players. That was marketing, clearly. Junichi Inamoto at Arsenal in, 97, 98. Purely marketing, because he wasn't all that good a player. He was average at best. So it's one of them ones where if the Saudis are smart, they'll tap into that, in my view. So as it stands, I would say the Saudi Pro League is a jacked up MLS, but it does have the potential to jump the MLS in the queue, to jump China in the queue as well. And it's going to be interesting to see how they do it and how long it takes them. I think it's one of them ones, it'll take 5 to 10 years. But if they keep pulling players like a Kalidou Koulibaly, like a Ruben Neves from Wolves, who are in the primes of their careers, as opposed to guys who are in the twilights of their careers, like a Ronaldo, Benzema, among others, then they could be a force to be reckoned with, as opposed to being seen as just a retirement league like the MLS. I think that's why the MLS has stagnated, because it's just seen as a retirement league. And in more recent years, you look at New York City FC, for instance, it's being seen as a feeder league because there's no promotion, no relegation. It's kind of like, well, there's no stakes, so why should I care? So it is an interesting one. It is an interesting one. I don't think the Saudi league is going anywhere. It's disappearing anytime soon, especially considering who they're luring over there. So it is one of them. But you know what? I want to know your views. The Saudi Pro League, a jacked up MLS, or can it be a legitimate threat to the big leagues? www.pitch-talk.com is the official website. Let us know your views. You can catch our podcast there, including the Straight Shooting View, Coaching with JBK, and much, much more. youtube.com/pitch-talk for the latest videos. Also, at Pitch Talk on Twitter, tweet with us, follow us, see what we're up to. facebook.com/pitch-talk, become a fan, become a friend, become a member of the group. Join the footballing revolution we are working so hard to create. We're at Pitch Talk on Instagram as well, and on TikTok. Catch the vlog and podcast previews there. Also, we're on Reddit at Pitch Talk as well. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you catch your podcasts, wherever you listen is where we are, the Pitch Talk Podcast. I have been Straight Shooting LJA, and until next time, see you later. Bye-bye.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution.
Check out the official Pitch Talk website.
www.pitch-talk.com. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Pitch Talk.
We are fans of football, dropping vlogs, videos and podcasts on the beautiful game.
Check out our videos on YouTube and Instagram's IGTV,
including special feature segments,
5 Minutes with the G,
The Straight Shooting View,
Coaching with JBK. We produce, record and edit video content
and audio on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts,
Verbal, Podomatic,
Anchor,
Spotify
and other podcast platforms.
Join the Pitch Talk revolution on Twitter, Instagram,
Facebook,
and www.pitch-talk.com.
The pitch is where we eat.
The pitch is where we sleep.
And the pitch is where we talk. I can see you now.